One of the world's biggest economies could say sayonara to the Kyoto Treaty.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The U.N. Climate Conference in Cancun is now underway. No one's expecting earth-shaking news out of the conference, but now there's this. A major economic power wants to back out of the world's only legally binding climate change treaty. Marketplace's Eve Troe is in Cancun with more. Good morning, Eve.
Good morning.
So who's backing out? What's going on there?
Well, on opening day here, Japan drew a line in the sand. It will not support extending the Kyoto Protocol. And that's the treaty that expires in 2012, where developed countries agreed to reduce greenhouse gases, with the glaring exception of the U.S., which never signed. Japan says if the U.S. and developing nations, like China, haven't promised to cut pollution, then the Kyoto Treaty isn't fair. Why should Japan keep taking an economic hit to reduce emissions while those countries don't have to do anything?
So, Eve, is Japan the only one turning its back on Kyoto?
Other countries have done so for years. They just didn't say so publicly. Canada and Russia signed, but they pretty much blew off their Kyoto promises and kept polluting. And globally, greenhouse gases have only gone down a tiny bit, if at all, under Kyoto. But it's been a kind of backup plan. Without it, there'd be more weight behind the other global plan on the table, the Copenhagen Accord. That's the voluntary agreement signed by 80 countries last year to reduce pollution. And some want to turn Copenhagen into law. But if Copenhagen stays voluntary, and Kyoto fails, that could mean there's no United Nations law for any country to lower greenhouse gases.
Now, Eve, Kyoto is in Japan, obviously.
Yes.
Isn't it a bit embarrassing for Japan to strike against a treaty that was signed on its own home turf?
Yeah, one expert I talked to said that might be the only thing that keeps Japan in this treaty. You know, headlines that say Japan kills Kyoto might just be too much to bear.
We'll see. All right. Marketplace's Eve Troe in Cancun. Eve, thanks.
Thank you.
For years, U.S. companies have complained the Chinese government looks the other way when vendors pirate American goods. We're talking about clothes and software, among other goods. This week, Beijing unveiled details about a new crackdown on intellectual property theft. And American lawyers say they believe the Chinese government may actually be serious this time. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports.
The image of bulldozers crushing pirated DVDs is a familiar one in China. State-run news rolls these images whenever China's government takes heat for condoning rampant piracy. We're seeing these images again this week, but there's something new this time, says intellectual property lawyer Douglas Clark.
In the past, you take the case to the police and they're very busy, or unless it's a perfect case, they're not interested. This time around, they're actually specifically asking for cases to be brought to them, and they appear keen to follow up.
Why the sudden concern? Beijing is spending billions on another campaign to spur Chinese tech companies to innovate.
I'm sure the authorities have been getting the message back from Chinese companies saying, if you want to innovate, you've got to protect our IP rights.
Street vendors aren't shaking in their fake Gucci boots yet. As of today, they were still selling all four seasons of Mad Men on DVD for less than $10. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Global stocks are higher at the moment. European and Asian markets up right now, 1%, maybe 2% in some places. Positive reports on German retail sales and Chinese factory output helping stocks along today. Wall Street yesterday, markets took a little on the chin. The Dow gave back 46 points and landed just above 11,000 at 11,006.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Toyota. Toyota is sharing technology and ideas for a better world. Learn more at toyota.com/ideas for good. By Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
The future of the Triple Crown is in question this week. Maryland's Preakness Stakes is the second of three of the country's most famous thoroughbred horse races. A battle between track operators and horse owners means next year's race may not even get out of the gate. From Baltimore, Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Triple Crown, the 135th running of the Preakness, and they're off. The Preakness brings tens of millions of dollars into the Maryland economy every year, but next year's event is on hold because of a dispute over the racing schedule at the state's two main thoroughbred tracks. The track's owners say they can't afford to host more than 47 days of live racing at Laurel Park and Pimlico next year. This year, they'll host 146 days. Lou Ullman is chairman of the Maryland Racing Commission. It nixed the shorter schedule.
We felt that that would be the death knell of the Maryland racing industry. We've got about 10,000 jobs statewide in this industry, and running 17 days of live racing at Laurel and 30 days at Pimlico would not be sufficient to keep all these people employed.
The track's owners didn't return calls. Gaming analyst James Carmel says the companies are struggling to compete with tracks in neighboring states. They support horse racing with revenue from slot machines and video lottery terminals. Efforts to bring slots to Maryland's Laurel Park have failed so far.
Actually operating a live racing schedule is a losing proposition. So the less they do of it, you might say, the better off they are financially.
Carmel says it's too soon to worry about the fate of the Preakness. He says track owners could come back with another plan. Some have even suggested the state seize the tracks to save the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, it's a harrowing tale of a kind-hearted commuter who rescued a fellow New Yorker on the tracks of a busy subway tunnel. On Sunday, Carlos Flores leapt onto the 600-volt electrified rail line after a man passed out and fell several feet down onto the tracks. Sounds like a good Samaritan, right? The only thing on Carlos Flores' mind was his job. He told the New York Daily News if the man had gotten hit, there would have been a huge delay and he wouldn't have been able to get to work and get paid. On Sunday, he says, it's time and a half. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Grab the podcast while you're there and share your thoughts, too. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Psst. Hey, you want to bet on a changing climate? Energy companies are putting big money into the next green energy thing, whatever that might be.
States now are asking themselves, my goodness, I was happy to be a leader, but I've just charged up this hill and the troops aren't behind me.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, winning and losing low-carbon bets next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.